San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Easter Sunday, and our 22nd anniversary as a center, April 9, 2023. Today's lesson is All is Revealed with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Happy Easter. Good morning.
Good morning.
Namaste.
Happy
Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yay! I almost feel like it's Christmas, you know, merry, happy, everything. Today, we have been a center for 22 years. And this lesson is entitled, All is Revealed. I'll tell you, over those 22 years, an awful lot has been revealed. A lot of amazing, magnificent, wonderful things. New life within and new life without as people have been born to different members of our center over the years. As children have grown, as Noble's little teeny tiny grandchildren, the two oldest, have turned into fine adults, and his youngest grandchild wasn't even born yet. In 22 years, we've come a long way. So, today being Easter, we get to see what is being demonstrated, what has been demonstrated, and not only what's gone on in this church, not only what took place 2,000 years ago when the stone was rolled away to reveal an empty tomb. I'm referring to our great demonstration that's being revealed right here, right now, in this very moment, in this very room. It's the great demonstration that's taking place in your life now, in my life, and in the life of this downtown community church and San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. We are a corporation. We are the Downtown Community Church, LLC. And we do business as the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. And we've done that, I think, since 2005. When we think about the word demonstrate, it means to make real or to make something come true. This morning, we're going to demonstrate our greatness, our divinity, and rise above any limitation in our life. Are you ready to claim your greatness?
Yes.
Are you ready to demonstrate your divinity?
Yes.
Are you ready to rise above any limitation or lack in your life? Yes or yes?
Yes.
All right. So put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
I am ready.
For my great demonstration.
I am ready.
I am ready.
To rise above any limitation.
To rise above any limitation.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So simply breathe. Breathe in the breath of life, of the divine that indwells you. And simply release any tension, any stress, any strain. As you breathe it out, let it simply dissipate into the nothingness that it was already. This being Easter, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of material for Easter, a whole lot of material. Our opening music, the Easter Hallelujah, when I was looking for music for this service, I put in Easter music, you know, to see what came up. And that came up, and I listened to it. And so I made it available so that we could use it today. And I listened to it 3 or 4 more times just because it moved me. It moved me. And that's what this day is all about. This is the most sacred day on the Christian calendar. People think, oh, Christmas. You know, because you can't have anything unless Jesus was born in the manger. And I say, anybody could have been born in a manger. Not everybody had eternal life and was resurrected. Not everybody overcame physical death. Jesus did. So, yeah, lots of people are born on December 25th. But there's only one Easter that we know of. And Jesus was the great example, not the great exception. His life was an example to us of how we may live, of the eternal omnipotence that is already within us. It's already inside us. And Jesus was demonstrating it for all of us. One of my dear friends, Reverend Dr. Abigail Albert, is co-minister of the All Faith Center with her husband, Reverend Dr. Steve Albert. And she puts out a newsletter at least every month. It seems sometimes like I get more than one a month, but I know it's at least once a month. And she wrote about Holy Week in one of them. And last week for Palm Sunday, I gave everybody kind of a little timeline of what happened before, what happened then, why did it happen, you know, kind of it's not just a day when people came out and threw palms around, that it was tied into Passover and the sacrificial lamb used in Passover that was then represented by Jesus the Christ. So when I saw what Abigail wrote about Holy Week, I thought, I need to share some of this with you. She didn't have a title for it, so I'm giving it a title. It's called We Are Risen. Okay, We Are Risen. So for Holy Week, on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. People were praising him, waving palms and shouting hosannas. And Jesus took it all in stride by humbly riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. This simple act was a lesson in rise in humility. Being humble reminds us to thank God for our good always. Jesus always said, it is not I that doeth the work, but the Father within. And the following day, Monday, Jesus cleared out a temple where unworthy transactions took place and money changers worked. And the temple was no longer a sacred, worshipful place of God. You've probably heard about the story of Jesus going into the temple and tipping over the tables and screaming at the moneylenders and telling them to get out. This is a holy place. Get out of here with your vice and your greed and your crime. What that was is a lesson for us to rise in clearing out our temple, our consciousness. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" The next day, Tuesday, was the day Jesus preached in the temple after he had restored it to a place of worship. So he went down to the temple and he's preaching, which, oh, by the way, the Jewish leaders didn't like. We can clean out our temple, our consciousness, through daily prayer and meditation, by speaking, by listening, by being present in the word of the divine. Wednesday, Judas took the 30 silver coins from the Pharisees, knowing he was going to lead them to Jesus. Interestingly enough, Abigail says that a lot of people thought Judas was hoping that Jesus would boldly stand up to the Pharisees. But that's not what happened. So when we think that we are creating a pathway for somebody else to do something, we ought to tell them that we're doing that so that they can say, wait a minute, that's not my path. No, you do what you're going to do, but I know what my path is. Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. Maundy means to mandate or commemorate. It's based on a Latin word. And that's when they had the Last Supper. Jesus celebrated Passover with his beloved disciples. We always need to remember our history and our teachings. It began with a Jewish man. Jesus was Jewish. The Passover was a Jewish sacred holiday. These are not Christian teachings. Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover that I talked about last week on Palm Sunday. Right now, Jewish people are celebrating the Passover from April 5th to the 13th to commemorate the anniversary of their exodus from Egyptian slavery and their freedom, as told in the Bible. Jesus, at the Last Supper, was reminding the disciples to remember him during this meal as he broke unleavened bread and served wine as he celebrated the first communion. Bread and wine are symbols of the nourishment and what's needed in life. But Jesus wanted them to remember his teachings to love one another and nourish their faith. His teachings are what is needed in our lives today as a rise in love. And I would like to remind you that new thought is based on the teachings of Jesus. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on any church doctrine. It is based on the teachings, the healing, the miracles, the power of the divine, for which we have Jesus as an example. Abigail continues, the story moves to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, the disciples slept, and the soldiers came. Peter was angry, and he cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. Remember that part? And Jesus healed it and told his people, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. than Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. In the divine plan, there's always a place for betrayers. We don't have to like that, but we have to honor that everyone has their own path. I'm glad that my path was not that of Judas. And I have love with the sorrow that what Judas did was necessary. It was necessary. In this, being a part of the whole plan leads to greater understanding, love, and a rise in our consciousness. We don't want to say, you're the bad guy, therefore I'm cutting you off. We want to say, you are God in action. I don't like what you're doing, and I'm not going to participate in it, and I'm not going to enable you. Your path, your choice. We cannot live a choiceless life. Then there's Friday, Good Friday. There was the trial by Pontius Pilate, the release of Barabbas, and the crucifixion of Jesus on a cross. The cross is a reminder to rise above. The horizontal bar represents huge blocks suffocated and pinned down by wrong action, fear, anger, or judgment. The vertical bar reminds us to rise above our negative, fearful mind and action. We soar upwards to empower ourselves and bring forth our Christ consciousness. On the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is for us, not the other person. A rise in forgiveness is a rise in consciousness. On Saturday, the guards were outside to safeguard the stone tomb to be sure that Jesus didn't leave. They were also guarding it to make sure nobody stole the body. The guards didn't really believe Jesus was going to wake up from the dead and just say, oh, hi, guys, you know, nice crucifixion, I'm back. They weren't guarding against him leaving. There will always be someone trying to keep you down, keep you from fulfilling your life purpose. When the time is right, open the tomb, go forth and forwards toward your purpose. Then there's Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, what we're celebrating today. There was an earthquake that shook the ground, and a brilliant light flashed before the guards. They saw the tombstone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was gone. The three Marys came to anoint Jesus' body with oil and found him gone. These were Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When the three Marys discovered the empty tomb, they told the disciples. Everyone finally realized Jesus has risen and there is no death, for life is eternal. Rising up is a gift we give ourselves, just as Jesus, the great example, was no longer tomb-bound, neither are we. We live beyond our stones and barriers by choosing to reveal and release our hidden splendor. That is our God self. there is a higher place in consciousness where we can envision and create lives of deep meaning, love, and a world that works for all. We set aside barriers of fear and doubt and give life to joyful, creative process of God being God as us, working through us, in us. Just as Jesus, the Christ consciousness, has risen, we are risen. There is a reason why I absolutely love and adore Steve and Abigail Albert. And it is because they touch my heart constantly with their words, with their presence, with the things that they do. Just being in their presence is to recognize the divine within each and every one of us. So I'm grateful. Now, Stephen and Abigail are also the couple who were behind the push to have a New Thought Day. You remember that? We had that the first Sunday in March. And this is Easter morning. The great demonstration that we celebrate this Easter morning is the resurrection of truth, the rising of our consciousness, and the overcoming of limited beliefs. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. He defines resurrection in his glossary. He says it is rising from a belief in death, a restoring or a renewal. We recognize that life is an unfoldment and must necessarily culminate in victory over death. Jesus made it plain that we should do even greater things than he. He taught us that the kingdom of heaven is not reached through the gateway of death, but by overcoming our limited beliefs while here, by recognizing the Father within. We do not have to wait for our great demonstration. We can rise above our limitations right here and right now. Who would like to rise above any limitations they ever thought they had right here and right now? Raise your hand. Yay! And so it is. It's done. You have risen above all that was behind you. All the false beliefs that at the time you embraced. And now that you know more, now that you are attuned to listening to that inner voice, you can see where none of that other stuff was true. Yeah, it was things that you were told. Yeah, it was things that you experienced. But just because we experience something, we have a situation or we have a circumstance, doesn't mean that that is the truth of life. It means, oh, look, that's happening. I don't have to rip myself up, tear out my heart, run in fear because that, whatever it is happening. We can see that we are all one. And with the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, that changed the world. Because what it did was enable other people to see that we are not bound by the limitations of the earth. We are not bound by the limitations of what we believed before. We are free. All is revealed. We can think a new thought and then think about what we think about. Eric Butterworth was a Unity minister and the author of many spiritual books, and he wrote this about Easter. Easter is not a passport to another world, meaning the afterlife. It is a quality of perception for this one. Eric Butterworth takes the same approach as Ernest Holmes does with regard to the resurrection. Butterworth says, "It is a time to take a new look at ourselves and contemplate the divinity within us. It's a time to reappraise the principle that makes all overcoming possible. If you're facing a challenge, know that you can rise above it. You can resurrect a new attitude and perception to overcome any problem or condition in your life." I like that. I believe that. I live that. We all do. Butterworth goes on to say, "This is the keynote of the great demonstration of Easter. You are divine, no matter what you have thought about yourself. You are divine. No matter what you have done in your life or with your life, no matter how limited your experience has seemed to be, the divinity of you is eternal, ageless, deathless, whole, and complete. It is that part of you that can never be alone. It is that part of you that can never be sick, and that part of you that can never die." He was an enlightened fellow. He is quite the author and speaker in New Thought and in Unity. His books, some of them are textbooks for the classes that our practitioners and ministers take in studying to become clergy and to be more aware of the deep truth. In Galatians Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Passover. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And with the Passover, they left Egypt. They were allowed to leave Egypt and go into the 40 years wandering in the desert to come to the Holy Land, the land of milk and honey. Easter. We were enslaved by our thoughts. We were enslaved by our belief that life is limited, that we just kind of have to suffer along and follow all the rules that the Jewish teachers are telling us that we had to follow. I'm saying the Jewish teachers because Jesus was Jewish. And he revealed the Christ consciousness to the world through his teachings, through his works, his miracles, through his resurrection. Reverend Rita Kayaza says, inner freedom begins with discovering that there can be no real freedom for us until we understand what negative past experiences are still living in us. These issues keep us stagnant. We need to foster our ability to bring forth the courage to move forward. We can't be made a prisoner of anything. We have the freedom to challenge any issue with understanding that belongs to our true mind, our new true mind. With this conscious awareness, something new will rise. We will gain inner freedom from the captivity of the past. You see a theme there? Yeah. Letting go of what was and embracing what truly is. So this morning, I invite you to roll away the stone, your personal stone, that's holding you back from your greatness and your divinity. Roll away the barriers of doubt, fear, and limitation, and step into a new dawn of your own great demonstration and your personal resurrection of truth. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now today is not just the great demonstration of Easter. Today is also the great demonstration of the birth of the Downtown Community Church, also known as the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. 22 years ago, on Easter Sunday, 2001, Reverend Dr. Gordon Bishop founded this center, this spiritual community, as in downtown San Diego, as the Downtown Community Church. Well, why would he do that? Okay, so here's the fun part. He was in ministerial school at Holmes Institute. And he had a homework assignment that was to develop a business plan for a church. That was in one of his courses. Well, Gordon also owned, he was a former school administrator, and he owned the New School of Architecture in downtown San Diego. And he was familiar with everything that was in there. So when he's writing out his plan on an airplane coming back to San Diego, wanting to get it done before he goes to class, he uses everything he knows about New School. And he says, oh, well, there's this space, we can use this, this is the budget, this is the plan, this is the advertising, this is, all this stuff. And then he came back and he was talking to his friend, Michael Carney, who was also in ministerial school at the time. And they said, so, Gordon, are you going to do it? And so many people thought that Gordon was going to do it. He didn't want to let anybody down. So he got Michael Carney, who was still in ministerial school after Gordon graduated, he got him to come in as the lead practitioner. And they opened up on Easter Sunday, 2001. In 2003, I met at the San Diego Center for Spiritual, at the Downtown Community Church, actually, I met Reverend John Pileski, who was a minister for Dr. Marilyn Hall up in Mission Valley. Well, he also knew Gordon Bishop and his wife, Karen. So we met at an event that Gordon had at the Downtown Community Church. And a nice guy, wiry ball of fire, followed me around. This is in 2003. Well, it turns out that Reverend Gordon, Dr. Gordon, wanted to retire and needed someone to take over the center. So for a while, Reverend Michael Carney stepped in, and then Reverend John Pileski was invited to step in. So he became not just a guest speaker, but our senior minister the same year we got married, 2005. Reverend John passed in 2017. And though I co-ministered with him for many years, when he passed, I thought, what am I going to do? Should I just sell all the church stuff and bury myself in my hole so that I don't have to deal with this? I don't have to deal with the loss, that I can just curl up and not be. And I guess having that thought, the answer was, people started calling me. When are you reopening the church? When are you starting teaching? So everything came around to, in 2018, I resurrected the church, and we started having Sunday services and having classes. And I relied on that gentleman right there, Noble Benning, our lead practitioner. You'll find a picture of Noble and Reverend John and me over sitting on that bookshelf. And that was the day that we knew John was taking over the Downtown Community Church. And we vowed, whatever it takes, we will do it. We will be it. We will continue this work of love, this idea of God expressing. And so here we are, 22 years from the date that we opened, having demonstrated many things, having touched so many lives, and being overjoyed, filled with love for everyone who ever came through our doors, for everyone who ever called, for everyone who ever attended one of our events. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. So, today, it's Easter. It's our anniversary. And this morning, we're going to have a party. So, thank you all for making this church and our great demonstration of love and friendship available to all. Namaste.